Good morning, everyone. You know, in Obama's speech last night, I got a takeaway moment.
And what was that?
He was in the middle of the speech. It seemed to me that every president I have known in my adult life has talked about some sort of Gulf oil crisis of one kind or another, whether it's Persian Gulf or Gulf of Mexico. And the president said this last night, and this is what sort of triggered my thought.
We will fight this spill with everything we've got for as long as it takes. We will make BP pay for the damage their company has caused. And we will do whatever is necessary to help the Gulf Coast and its people recover from this tragedy.
Of course, it's Gulf of Mexico today, but Persian Gulf in past presidencies. And, of course, oil has always been a strategic issue for presidents since the end of World War II.
Well, gulfs are a strategic place. And, you know, very often they border many different areas, which is part of the problem.
Well, here to help us analyze the president's 18-minute speech from the Oval Office last night, we're joined by Kathleen Hall Jamison, professor of communication and the director of the Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning.
You said in your sort of opening there at the top of the hour, details to follow. Are you saying that the president's speech last night was short on detail?
It's possible to say details to follow without indicting the speech as speech. Rather than viewing this speech as the culminating speech on the clean energy future that the president said that the time to embrace was now, one could say that this is the opening act of a number of speeches that will ultimately culminate in an explanation of how he will get us to the clean energy future. If that's the case, as we look back historically, then the speech may be viewed as a success because it wasn't the end in itself. If this is the final speech on the energy future, then the details not following will become the indictment of the speech.
Well, certainly the rhetorical style was very, very consistent. Listen to this montage here and see if you can pick out the theme.
I'd like to lay out for you what our battle plan is going forward. To speak with you about the battle we're waging against an oil spill threatened by a menacing cloud of black crude salting our shores before this siege is done. We will fight this spill with everything we've got for as long as it takes.
Certainly presidents are known for invoking war metaphors of one kind or another, but what struck you about the style and the rhetoric in this speech last night?
What struck me about those metaphors was the focus on the here and now, not the battle in the long term. Those metaphors are all addressing the spill, quote unquote, and I would call it a hemorrhage rather than a spill. I think the metaphor of spill is significantly understates what's happening here. But by focusing on the here and now, what the president essentially does is accepts accountability for getting this situation under control in this speech without being terribly specific, and here's the details to follow, about how in the future we're going to transform to a new kind of economy built on safe, clean energy, how we'll pay for it, and what the implications of the transformation will be for a debt-ridden economy in the present tense. Those who criticize the speech for not providing all of that aren't listening to the focus of the speech embodied in those metaphors. The war he's fighting right now is on that hemorrhaging oil. Mm-hmm. Details to follow. Once we've got that under control, perhaps he'll explain about this clean energy future that he's going to get us to.
Well, one detail involved the issue of accountability. Listen.
Tomorrow, I will meet with the chairman of BP and inform him that he is to set aside whatever resources are required to compensate the workers and business owners who have been harmed as a result of his company's recklessness.
So there's a specific.
And there's also a focus on the present tense. Tomorrow he's going to meet. He's got essentially a setup rhetorically operating in which, by calling for an independently managed escrow account, he's set a criterion for his own success. If BP, which may well have been willing to put that up on its own without the president's call for it, offers that now, puts that on the table, check one, Obama appears to have accomplished something. Secondly, if BP agrees to forego its dividend and instead make whole those in the Gulf or make them whole first, carry those liabilities first, president gets to check. He called for that first, then they deliver it. As a result, it seems that he acted, they reacted, he was in control, he delivered. So this speech's focus on the present is establishing their accountability to him, and if he succeeds by those measures, the perception then is the speech was a success on those grounds.
Kathleen Hall Jamison, there was many ways, though, in which he looked toward the future, and he started talking about future recovery efforts and future clean energy efforts. And when we spoke with the mayor of Fairhope, Alabama, he said it was too early to start talking about recovery while the 2.5 million gallons of oil were still spewing into the Gulf every day. Do you think it is too early to start talking about energy reform?
No, I don't. But I think that is the tension underlying the speech. What the president needed to do was to take those visuals of the hemorrhaging oil that contextualized his speech last night on the evening news. In fact, in one inset, you see the president about to speak, and you see the hemorrhaging oil on the other part of the screen in a split screen. And he needs to take those images and suggest that he has controlled it, he has stopped it, he has fixed it. Now, Act 2, here are the details to follow. Here's how he's going to get us to the energy future he forecasts. If he had done both in the speech, he would have run the risk that those along the Gulf would have said, wait a minute, what's this focus on the future? Our problem hasn't been solved here. There's not going to be a future for us unless you get this thing under control. And the more the president speaks, the more action he takes, the more he's accountable for the fix. Yesterday was the day, remember, that we got a higher estimate on how much oil is currently spewing into the Gulf.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the future before we go. It seemed to me that this was an almost Carter-esque moment in the speech last night.
After all, oil is a finite resource. We consume more than 20% of the world's oil, but have less than 2% of the world's oil reserves. And that's part of the reason oil companies are drilling a mile beneath the surface of the ocean, because we're running out of places to drill on land and in shallow water.
Carter called for these kinds of changes in the midst of another energy crisis. How do you rate this sort of long vision rhetoric from the president?
I view those moments in his speech as the forecast of the next speech that he will deliver on energy, which could be a defining speech in his presidency that will tell us what that future is and how he's going to get us there. He'll be judged by whether he did.
All right, Kathleen Hall Jamison, professor of communication and the director of the Annenberg Public Policy Center, taking a look and a listen at President Obama's 18-minute speech last night, in a sense declaring war on that oil in the Gulf. Kathleen, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
War metaphors? Sure, they're meaningful.
We're on the front line of a war, basically. And, you know, our lives and the people all up and down the coast of Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and it's creeping over to Florida. We're living on the front line.